for us tonight, Brother Chad.
Amen. Well, it's good to be with y'all this evening, and appreciate y'all being faithful to the Lord's house even on a weekend, holiday weekend rather. You ought to be in the Lord's house every weekend, shouldn't you? Yeah. Amen. And take your Bibles, go with me if you would, over to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 1 is where we'll be. Nehemiah chapter number 1. Is it all right if I move this stuff to where I don't knock it off? Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 1. And I want to say thank you to the church for supporting the college and sending them to Waycross to be with us for Soul Winning Marathon. What a blessing they were to us. And I want to say thank you for praying that Wednesday before they came. I was here and I preached that Wednesday evening. And I challenged the church to join in prayer with us. Our church had been praying specifically for over 100 souls to be saved, and ask you to pray with us that way. And God blessed, amen. We had over 100 saved, we had 106 that we know of, and just an answer to prayer, real blessing. And that Wednesday night of Soul Winning Marathon, we had revival. It was just tremendous. Had several visitors, had folks that had gotten saved during the week that came that night to make public professions, and just a tremendous week. And you ought to be proud of the college students. They had a good spirit about them, and they labored hard and worked hard. They're a real blessing to our people. And also, I know many of them, the majority of the college is gone, but some of the ladies got together and wrote some cards to some of our ladies who helped prepare food. And you'd never think that a card would do so much for somebody, but our ladies, they came to me the week they received the cards, and they were just ecstatic about it, just rejoicing and thankful. And they thought that once the college left, they'd be forgotten, nobody'd remember them, and they rejoiced. And so whoever was behind that, encouraging the ladies, the young college ladies, to do that, thank you. That was a help to our people. It was an encouragement to our ladies. Amen. And I also want to say thank you to Preacher for coming and being with us in our conference back in April. We had a tremendous conference, and appreciate him being with us, Old Time Religion Conference. And just when you think it don't get any better from your preacher, it gets better. Amen. He preached two tremendous messages, and just did a wonderful job. Always a blessing. Amen. It was a real honor to have him come and preach in our church again, be in our pulpit, and he blessed our folks. Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 1, not too long ago, I guess it has been a while ago now, last year, in the fall of last year, I preached a series of messages through the book of Nehemiah. And I just went chapter through chapter preaching messages out of Nehemiah. And as Lord led and laid on my heart, and God really blessed and used the messages to be helped our people. And as I was, the preacher called me this morning and asked if I'd like to preach. And I was praying today, asking the Lord to direct me as to how he would have me to preach this evening, what he'd have me to preach. And I believe the Lord settled in my heart what he'd have for us this evening. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of burdens. The subject of burdens. When we think of burdens, we often think of things that are negative in nature. If we were to take a poll tonight in the church house and ask, does anybody like burdens? Probably the vast majority of us would say no. We don't like them, because oftentimes we think of them as being negative right off the bat. We think of heavy loads and that are cumbersome to bear, and we think of emotional burdens and physical burdens and financial burdens. We think of even spiritual burdens, and probably the majority of us don't enjoy burdens. I don't think anybody really enjoys carrying one. They're heavy. Oftentimes they're an added weight. They're uncomfortable, and most times they're inconvenient to us. This week, as we were preparing to get away for a week, it seemed like the devil unloaded everything he had. I mean, I was burdened down all week. Sunday night after church, I didn't realize it, nobody told me, but last Sunday night, evidently the air conditioner, the air handler, one of them in the auditorium froze up, and when it thawed out, it flooded the auditorium. I came in Monday to water dripping out of lights, and I mean, it was a mess, carpet soaked, and well, I
went to work and got it cleaned up and thought that I got everything fixed. And Wednesday night we had church, and well, Thursday morning it did the same thing. It made a mess. And so I thought I'll use the water hose and clean out that drain line and blow that out. So I went out there to do that, and I went and turned the water on, and well, we had no water. I called a pump. I know a little bit about pumps and things. We're not on city water. We're out in the country. So I went out there and I flipped the contacts there on the points and things, thinking maybe bugs got on there, but they were looked clean and couldn't figure it out. And called a pump man. He come out late Friday night before we get there, and he said, "I got good news." I said, "All right, give it to me." He said, "I found the problem." I said, "Well, amen." He said, "Don't rejoice yet." He said, "I got bad news." So what is it? He said, "You got to replace your pump." He said, "That's going to be over $1,000, and you've got to have water to have church." And so I was burdened with that, burdened with air condition, and burdened with one thing after another. And then I'm going to get parts and had to drop James off at work. I stopped to do something. Car ran fine. Went to get back in my car, and when I hit the key, it went click. Alternator went out. Man, I was burdened. I was thinking, man, what could happen next? And I got thinking, I'm not going to ask that question. And all those things were inconvenient. They were burden to me, amen. And they were uncomfortable. And praise God, we got all those things taken care of. Had a great service this morning. Had a 65-year-old lady that I won to the Lord in the hospital last week. We baptized her this morning, had a good service. But, you know, if we're not careful, we'll allow them burdens of life to weigh us down. There's many burdens, listen. However, that being said, there's many burdens that God does not want us to bear. One of them being the sin burden. Aren't you glad that the Bible tells us that Jesus is our burden bearer? Aren't you glad that, listen, that He bore in His own body our sin on the tree? He took care of our sin. He carried that burden upon the cross of Calvary. I thank God for that. When I got saved, the burden of sin was lifted. Matter of fact, it was on March the 16th, right in this place, right over in front of the piano, about 8:15 on a Sunday night. And that 65-year-old lady that I'm telling you about that got saved last week in the hospital, she laid in the hospital bed. She said, "Preacher, could I ask you a question?" She said, "Have you always been saved?" I said, "Well, no, ma'am, nobody's always been saved." And I explained that to her. And she came from a holiness background, and you know, you got to be holy in order to get saved. In order to stay saved, you got to live holy, and so on and so forth. And she said, "Could you tell me, what did it feel like after you got saved?" And I said, "Well, Miss Betty, the best way I can explain it is this: peace. There was peace that I just can't explain." And I said, "And if there's another word, another phrase that I could use to explain how salvation felt, it would be the burden being lifted." When I got saved that night on March the 16th, it was as though somebody reached down and lifted a pallet full of blocks that were heavy on my heart and heavy on my shoulders and just lifted them. Well, that somebody was Jesus. And that pallet wasn't blocks, but it was a load of sin that I'd been carrying. And that night when I got saved, Jesus lifted the sin burden. When you got saved and trusted Christ as your Savior, He took the sin burden for you. And can I tell you tonight, if you're here without Christ, Jesus wants to take the sin burden on your behalf. He's already died on the cross in your place. So there's the burden of sin. Then also there's the burden of guilt. And bear in mind, God don't want not one of us to carry the sin burden. But even after we get saved, oftentimes we carry the burden of guilt. The guilt of sin. And I believe with all my heart that even the guilt of sin is lifted at salvation. Now, that don't change the fact that we were guilty of sin, but thank God Christ took care of it, amen. Thank God He died for my sin. I believe that a lot of saved folks are carrying around guilt of sin. And I was thinking about this. I've been counseling with some folks in our church, and they've been talking about things in their past, and they assured me of their salvation, but they remind me of things of their past. And the only thing I can say is, Why are you so burdened down with the things that God has forgiven and forgotten? Did you get that? God not only has forgiven, but He's forgotten. He's removed it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered ever again. When Satan, the old accuser of the brothers, stands and makes accusations, I think of that wonderful song in our hymn book that even some of the ladies here at this church sing. What sin are you talking about? I think about a story of a man that lived in a country town, something like ours, a farm town, and didn't have a whole lot of money, and he was walking down the road just barefooted in his overalls, and he was coming from the feed store, and he was carrying a bushel of corn over his shoulder to carry home to feed the hogs and the chickens and such, and he was carrying that. It was a hot summer day and high humidity. He was just soaking wet, and he was heavy under that load of that bushel of corn as he walked down the side of the road, and all at once a pickup truck came by, and a man realized this was an older man carrying a bushel of corn, and it was hot, and he looked worn out, so he stopped, and he said, "Could I give you a ride?" The old country boy said, "Boy, I'd sure love a ride." So he got in the truck, and he's riding down the road, and the old country boy driving the pickup truck couldn't help but notice it. This old country boy still carrying the bushel of corn on his shoulders. And he thought for a minute, "I wonder why he's doing this." And so he said, "Son," he said, "why don't you lay that bushel of corn there on the floorboard?" And that country boy said, "Oh, no, I couldn't ask you to do such a thing." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It's enough that I asked you to give me a ride. I couldn't ask you to carry my corn also." You know, that's what a lot of Christians do with our sin, do with the guilt of sin. We ask Jesus to save us, and He comes into our heart and forgives us. Holy Spirit of God moves in and resides within us. But yet we carry the load rather than giving it to the Lord, rather than allowing Him to help us. I think of guilt as this. A good way of describing it is Satan trying to remind you of what God has already forgotten. I think what Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. No doubt about it, listen. There's burdens of the daily cares of life. I explained to you about all that's been going on with me this week. Brother Bobby, one of my deacons, come up to me after church today, and he was trying to encourage me. He said, "Brother, you just go. You have a good time. Shut your phone off, and I'll take care of any problems. You need anything, you call me." He said, "Is there anything you can do?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Brother, you pray that nothing goes wrong on the way to Florida. You pray that the tires stay up, the motor keeps running. You pray that I get there on time for church, and you pray the truck gets back on time." He said, "Brother," he said, "you got to quit worrying about the past. You're concerned about them burdens of the week." He said, "Forget them. Them are in the past. Just trust God for a good week." He said, "This is the Lord's day, first day of the week." He said, "Start fresh and anew today." He reminded me of those things. And you know, the Lord Jesus tells us there in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I believe God even wants us to cast the cares of this life upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. Because He cares for us. I think of burdens we carry. So many of them are unnecessary. Burdens that we shouldn't be toting around, because Jesus has already taken care of them. Jesus has already invited us to cast them upon Him. So now, no doubt, we're carrying, many of us often are carrying unnecessary burdens. I think of another hymn in the hymn book. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Tonight, listen, we're going to get into Nehemiah chapter 1 in just a moment. But tonight, listen, many Christians, no doubt even some in this place tonight, are carrying burdens that are unnecessary for you to be carrying. And I want to say this, when invitation time comes, if you're such a one as that, I invite you, and more importantly, the Lord Jesus invites you to come. and cast your care upon him and cast those burdens upon him at this old-fashioned altar. You ought to lay some burdens down. But also, while we're there, this is what I want to preach on. We ought to pick some burdens up. We ought to pick some burdens up. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you just got done describing how burdens are uncomfortable and how burdens are no fun and how they're heavy and how they're undesirable. Yes, but I still believe there's some burdens that you and I as God's people need to pick up. Look with me in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 1 is where we'll begin reading. The Bible says the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, verse 3, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates therefore are burned with fire. Now notice verse 4. Matter of fact, before I get into verse 4, let me say what has just been said. We understand Nehemiah is the cupbearer. We understand that Israel has been in captivity. We understand that the gates have been burnt, the walls have been torn down, and it was in bad shape. And so when Nehemiah's brethren comes by, he's concerned not only about his people, but about his home place. And so he inquires and he says, fellas, tell me, how are things back home? What kind of shape are things in? And in other words, his brethren reply, it's terrible. Matter of fact, the reply was, listen, it's a reproach. It's terrible. It's in sad shape. Now look with me, if you would, at verse 4 and remember who Nehemiah is. Though he's a cupbearer, listen, that's not home. Those aren't his people. He still has a heart for home, and he still has a heart for his people. And remember, they're God's people. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Notice what Nehemiah does. When he hears the words, you know what he did? He decided, listen, that's not a burden that I have to carry. Because after all, I'm here at the king's palace. I'm the cupbearer for the king. I have everything I need. Everything is fine here where I am. But you know what Nehemiah did? He heard how God's people were. He heard how God's place was. You know what he said? He said, I choose to pick up that burden. I choose to pick up that burden. And when he chose to pick up the burden, in verse number 4, what the Bible says is this: he sat down and wept. He mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Dr. Carter just mentioned about the sad shape we're in as a nation. I'm a firm believer with all my heart, and I'll fight you over it. I believe that America is still the greatest nation on the face of this earth. I still, as bad as everything is, as liberal as our nation is gone, as pathetic as our politicians are today, listen to me now. I'm still glad that by the grace of God that I was born in the United States of America. I'm not proud of our politicians. I'm not proud the way that our nation's gone. I'm definitely not proud of the way that some of our brethren have gone. But I'm still glad to be an American. And you know, we could sit around tonight, the night before Memorial Day, and gripe and complain about Obama. We could gripe and complain about all of his bunch of liberal bunch. We can gripe and complain about how the Republicans aren't a whole lot better. We could gripe and complain about the churches around us that aren't doing anything. We can gripe and complain and say, oh, it's not what it used to be. But can I tell you something? If we all we do is gripe and complain about it, it's not going to change one thing. But you know it'll change things. You know, Nehemiah could have griped and complained. He could have said, man, what in the world's going on back home? What in the world is wrong with God's people? Why aren't they getting things together? Why aren't things happening different? But instead of griping and complaining, the Bible says that he fell on his face and he wept and he fasted and he prayed. Amen. You know what'll change America? Some of God's people getting on an altar tonight and saying, hey, this is a burden I choose to pick up. Tonight when I go to bed, when I pray, I'm going to pray for our nation. Hey, I'm going to pray for President Barack Hussein Obama. That somehow he'll receive the gospel and get saved by the grace of God. I'm going to pray for the governor of Florida. I'm going to pray for our congressmen. I'm going to pray for our senators. Hey, I'm going to pray for people that are in a place of power. You know what will happen when God's people decide to pick up that kind of burden? I just believe with all my heart that when God's people pray, we get a hold of the ear of God. I believe that God lends his ear to us when God's people do things God's way. Nehemiah picked up a burden that he didn't have to pick up. Can I say something to you? I believe that Nehemiah said, I choose to bear this burden because, number one, I love God. And number two, because I love people. Now, if Nehemiah was anything like me and your pastor, he could say that he loved people, but he may not always like them. But he loved them. He loved God, and then he loved people. You ever known anybody like this? Preacher get up and ask for prayer for somebody going through some hardship, some problem, and next thing you know, the person next to you, they deserve everything they get. Why is he asking for prayer for them? They dug their own grave, let them deal with it. And they don't whisper, they talk so four pews around you can hear them. I've got my own problems. I'm not going to pray for them. That's their own fault. We're like that, and we all know people like that. But can I tell you something? The Bible teaches that God's commandments are not grievous. The Bible tells us that in 1 John 5, verse 2 and 3, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You say, preacher, what in the world does God's commandments have to do with picking up burdens, laying down burdens, that kind of thing? Well, if I recall right, and I remember reading my Bible, I believe the Bible tells us, listen, hey, that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. That we're to pray for others, amen, that do us wrong. Right. That we're to forgive, listen, not just seven times, but 70 times seven. Right. The Bible says God's commandments are not grievous. Can I just share this with you tonight? Amen. Since I got saved, boy, I've just fallen in love with church. Amen. If you're here tonight and you say, I hate this place. I just can't stand being, I wish mom didn't make me come. I wish my husband didn't make me, I wish my wife didn't drag me here every time the doors are open. Listen, if that's your attitude, can I tell you, one of two things have taken place. Either one, you're still dead in your trespasses and sin, or two, listen, you're backslidden. Amen. Since I got saved, can I tell you something? I love church. Going to church isn't difficult for me. Man, I enjoy it. When we had our conference last month, we had church 6 days, amen. Can I tell you, it'd been fine just to keep on going, have another six. Yeah, I was tired and worn out, but I tell you, I was loving it. I was loving the singing. I was loving the preaching. I was loving the fellowship. I mean, I just assumed just stay there and not even go home. I love church. Why? Man, because God saved me and God, listen, God did something for me. And listen, I'm reminded in the scriptures that God loved the church and gave himself for it. And if God loves the church, then don't you think it's important that his children love the church? That we love the things that he loves. Can I say something else? It's not difficult for me to tithe. It's a joy to tithe. Can I go a step further? It's even more of a joy to be able to give of an offering. It's a joy to be able to write my tithe check for over and above the tithe, to give to missions and give to special needs and give to people that are hurting. Why? Because it's a way that I can say, thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. I wish I could do a lot more, but God, I sure am excited to be able to do what you've enabled me to do. You say, preacher, you're really getting close to home there. You're holding your wallet, women reaching for your pocketbook. Can I say something? If you enjoy giving the United Way more than you love giving to the church, you got problems. You ought to give to the church. You ought to give through the church. It's not grievous, listen. It's not grievous or difficult to give out gospel tracts. It's not. I love it. I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing expressions on people's face when they look at what I just handed them. I like doing it at the hospital in the elevator. They can't escape. They can't throw it away right there. For 30 seconds, if they're getting off on the next floor, at least you've got their attention. They can't go nowhere. I enjoy it. Why? Because number one, I love God. Number two, I love people. Why? Because God first loved me. God's commandments aren't grievous. Preacher, what's that got to do with burdens tonight? Well, when you love God and love people, there'll be times that, listen, you get a blessing out of picking up a burden for someone else. Preacher, just after our conference in April, the next week, Andrew, our youngest boy who's five, he woke up Sunday morning, felt fine, went to church, and in junior church, after they came and got us, said that he's sick, running a high fever. Just all of a sudden, he was throwing up and just sick, and throughout the day, it got worse. That night, it got bad. My wife was up all night long Sunday night. All night long, he laid at her bed with a trash can, and I mean, it was terrible. And Monday, and she took him to the doctor. We went and come to find out that Andrew had salmonella, and he was deathly sick. They said this could last 5 days to 5 weeks. Let's hope and pray that it don't last 5 weeks, and it ended up lasting exactly about 1 week, and we praise the Lord for that. But during that week, he'd run that high fever, and she'd give him the medicine at night. It would always get worse at the night, and he would throw up, and she'd be right there with him, and he'd run to the bathroom. She'd run with him, and just up and down, up and down, up and down, and by Wednesday, she just looked like death warmed over. She was pale. She was tired. She was worn. She hadn't slept. Now, understand, she wasn't sick. She didn't have any problems, but someone she loved did. And it wasn't grievous for her to stay up with him all night for nights on end, days on end. It wasn't grievous for her to care for him and do those things. Why? Because she loves him. Can I tell you something? If you and I as a child of God love others, it won't be grievous for you and I to help pick up the burdens of others. Try to be a help and try to be a blessing to others. There are burdens, no doubt, that we need to lay down and leave down here at this altar, but then there's burdens that you and I ought to pick up down here on this altar and take back with you. Man, I'm gonna tell on my wife for just a moment. I shared with you how it wasn't grievous for her to do that because she loved Andrew. But men, you better not say amen if you agree, because you're gonna get elbowed. But one of the most aggravating things for me is when I go to bed about 10 o'clock every night. After I watch the news to find out how many people got shot in the south side of Jacksonville, and then I go to bed. No joke, every night, my wife and I, the conversation is how many people got shot tonight. And after I find out what the count is, I go to bed. And I go in there, Brother Pouts, and I'll sleep good. I mean, I'm sound asleep, and man, I'm snoring good, I'm comfortable. And she stays up till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning doing whatever. I don't know what she does. But when she comes to bed, she turns every light on in the bedroom. And then she climbs in the bed with the light still on. and says this, "Did you lock the door?" "No, I didn't lock it. I thought you locked it." "Well, I can't remember if I locked it. I don't know if it's unlocked or locked. Get up and check it." I'm thinking, I'm half asleep. "You go check the door." So I'll get up and I'll go check the door just to find out it's already locked. Colin, take notes of this, brother. It's going to happen to you. I'll go check there and see if, and the door's already locked, so I'll get back in bed and I'm getting back to sleep and I've shut the light off. My wife realizes she forgot to use whatever those pads are to take off her makeup, so she gets up again, turns the lights on, goes to the mirror, takes her makeup off, gets back into bed with the lights on, and then says, "Would you shut the light off?" I've already shut it off twice. "You couldn't shut it off?" I'm already in bed. I'm already half asleep. Now listen, it's aggravating to me, but you know what happens, Brother Harvey? Because I love my wife and I want supper the next night, I get up and I shut the light off, amen? You see, if we love somebody, it's not a burden, it's not grievous to be burdened with them, amen, to pick up their burdens. Tonight, I want to give you, and I'm out of time already, but I just got four real quick thoughts, but I believe that they'll help you tremendously if you'll get a hold of them, concerning burdens that we need to pick up. Number one, I believe every single born-again child of God ought to have a burden for lost souls. We ought to have a burden for the lost. I think of the Apostle Paul, his prayer to God for Israel there in Romans was that they might be saved, amen. That was his prayer. He said in Romans 9:3, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Boy, that's a strong statement, isn't it? But that's how much he loved souls. That's how much he loved his brethren. I wonder, do you and I love souls enough to stop by a track rack before we leave tonight and fill our pockets and our purses and our briefcases full of gospel tracts? Do we have enough of a burden just to pick up a track? Man, we've got a boy in our church who's 9 years old, goes to public school. His parents manage some apartments in town, and every single Sunday night and Wednesday, he is filling up pockets and boxes full of tracts. Finally, I started ordering some tracts especially for him. He takes them to school. He gives them to every teacher. He gives them to the people at the cafeteria. He gives them to all the people at the students. When his parents go to evict somebody or do work at an apartment, he says, "I'll be right back. I'm just going to go knock some doors." I'm talking about a 9-year-old boy. He got saved 2 years ago under my preaching on a Sunday night. And I'm not praising myself, but I praise Jesus for it. Amen. He got saved. I baptized him the next week. Can I tell you, he's one of the best soul winners in our church. He hadn't got over what God did for him. He hadn't got over the fact that Jesus still loves sinners, that Jesus still wants to save lost people. Boy, he's got a burden for them. I wonder tonight, do you and I, do we have a burden for lost people? If not, why not get on this altar tonight, listen, and pick up a burden for lost people? You know what that'll do for you? I guarantee you this one thing. If you'll get on this altar tonight and you pray and you spend the time, listen, however long it takes, and beg God, "God, give me that burden. God, renew that burden. God, oh, break my heart over people dying and going to hell." I'll tell you what'll happen Thursday night. They'll have to set out some more chairs about 7 o'clock, because there'll be a lot more people at that meeting for soul winning on Thursday night. But preacher, it's summertime. Listen, you remember I said sometimes burdens are uncomfortable and burdens are a hassle and burdens are cumbersome. But can I tell you what is so important to you that, listen, it's more important than a lost person getting saved and having forgiveness of their sins? Number two, not only do we need a burden for lost people, but tonight, listen, we need a burden for missions. We need a burden for missions. And I know where we're at tonight. I know the kind of missions program this church has. But can I tell you, listen, we need a burden for missions. Every Wednesday night we have a missionary of the week. We pick one of our 40 missionaries and we just go down alphabetically, and every whatever week it falls on their letter of the alphabet, then they're our missionary of the week, and we pray specifically for them. We ask our people to pray specifically for them. We pray that God would meet their needs, financial needs or physical needs, that God would bless their ministry with many souls saved, and boy, that God would just do something special with that missionary during that week. I wonder, in a church this size that supports over 200 missionaries, I want to ask you a question. I'm not asking about missionaries that are sent out of this church, because we know the Morgans. We know folks such as that, and we thank God for them. But I wonder tonight, if I asked you to write down just five missionaries that your church supports, that's not one of your sending missionaries, I wonder how many in this auditorium could write down five names. But preacher, I give. Preacher, I'm faithful to put my faith promise in. Preacher, I'm faithful to be here for missions conference. I'm faithful. Listen, we've got one of our missionaries. He's a third generation missionary. His grandpa started a work in Mexico. His dad's now running that work in Mexico, planting over 20 churches a year in Mexico, training nationals in Mexico to take them churches, and then they go and plant other churches and train the nationals. Well, their son, Brother Johnny, felt called to be a missionary, but he didn't feel led to go to Mexico. God was calling him to Panama. So he got married, went to Bible college, went to Panama, were there for about 3 years, and some things happened. They had to come back to the States for about 6 months. During that time, they were in our church, and his wife got pregnant, and we were rejoicing. My wife and his wife were sitting across the lunch table talking about babies and all of this, and they were excited. This was going to be their firstborn son. They had one daughter, and they were just so excited to have a little boy. Brother Jonathan was praying, boy, that God would raise up this young baby. It's not even born yet, and God would allow this young son to be a missionary as well, be a preacher of the gospel. I found out about 3 weeks ago while driving from a tent meeting about an hour and a half from our church. At midnight, I got a phone call from Brother Jonathan's dad. And he said, I'm just calling asking you to remember Jonathan in prayer. This morning, Jonathan's dear wife delivered a stillborn baby boy. They're on their way back to America to plan a funeral and bury their baby. Man, my heart just broke. They don't have family there. They don't have a dad they can in Panama they can go rest their head on their shoulder, and a mother that can wrap her loving arms around their dear daughter who just delivered their stillborn baby. They don't have any of that, but can I tell you what they ought to have? They ought to have some children of God, some brothers and sisters in Christ back home in the States that knows them by name, that's able to call them out by name, that's able to say, oh God, be with them. Oh God, meet their need. Oh God, surround them with your love and your comfort. Tonight, if you can't list five of your missionaries other than your home sending the missionaries, I challenge you to find out some names. Put them in your Bible. Put them on your refrigerator. Put them on your desk and begin to know them. Begin to call them out to God in prayer. Thirdly, we need a burden for wayward Christians. In the day and age which we live, and I know in a church this large that it's a lot more, but even in churches my size that run about 100, we have wayward Christians, folks that get saved, get in, get right, and serve, and then next thing you know, they fall out. And by the way, you know why many Christians fall out of church? I just believe this. I believe it's because they don't want to carry burdens. Preacher wants me to do what? Work a bus route on Saturday. Study for a Sunday school. He wants us to come for extra meetings during the week. They don't want to carry the extra burdens. But I think we ought to get a burden for our wayward Christians, for our wayward church members. Here's the average attitude of the average independent Baptist church in America today. When they find out somebody got out of church and they've missed them for a month or two, and by the way, you shouldn't be going to Pastor Carter and saying, preacher, where's so-and-so been? When you notice they've been gone, you ought to then get a burden for them. Instead of going to the preacher, you ought to go to their place. You ought to call them up. You ought to say, could we get lunch or a cup of coffee? But you know what the average church and the average church member thinks about a wayward Christian? That's all right, let them go. That's all right. We'll get other ones. They didn't amount to much anyway. Look, they only been here 6 months or already out. It's all right. It's not all right. It's not all right, folks. That's a brother and sister in Christ if they're saved. That's a lost person on their way to hell if they're lost. It's not okay. Man, my heart's broken over how many people are falling out of good churches. And the average people say, it's all right. It's all right. You think it's all right with the Lord? You think God says, well, that's okay. No problem. Well, preacher, you don't understand what they did to me. You don't know the trouble they caused. You don't know about this, and you don't know about all this and that and everything else. Well, can I just encourage you? I know this is a holiday weekend and everything. But can I remind you, you too have a past. There's not a person in this room tonight that has a perfect track record. I'm talking about since we've been saved. There's not a one. You've got a past. And before you go dumping somebody else's past and someone else's record out on social media and out for everybody else to know about it, listen, why don't you get in front of a mirror and say, what about me? And a matter of fact, and I'm not talking about glorying in your sin and glorying in your past, but why don't you say, I wonder, is there something in my past that God helped me with that, boy, I could help this folks with, this family with, this brother, this sister with it, boy, that I could just go to them and say, I'm praying for you. I know how it feels to go what you're going through. But you know what we do? We as Baptists, we eat our own. We don't just kill them, but we eat them.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't care. We need a burden for the wayward. You know, I know for a fact there's wayward in this church right now that aren't here. And many of you sitting, and I'm not here to scold you tonight. I'm here to try to encourage you and help you. There's many of you that just sat and said, let them go. They've been a headache to preacher anyway. They've been nothing but a problem. Listen, they're precious to the Lord, so precious He's willing to die for their sins. Right now, I venture to say probably every single person, boy, girl, man, woman, grandma, grandpa, mom, and dad, every one of us can think of somebody right now that even this year sat in a pew in this place that you hadn't seen in weeks, maybe months, maybe since New Year's. You've just forgotten. Tonight, can I encourage you during invitation time, why don't you get on this altar? Why don't you say, God, give me a burden for that family. Give me love for that family. Remember, I believe that when Nehemiah heard the tragic news, I believe that, listen, he fell on his face and he prayed and he begged God and he fasted certain days. Why? Because he loved God, but he also loved people. We need a burden, listen, for the wayward. Can I say this also as summer approaches? We need a burden for the bus ministry. We need a burden. I shared this with our church 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night. And our church is growing. It's not growing by leaps and bounds, but about once a month we're picking up a new family that are faithful and sticking with us, and we're not exploding. But I shared this with our church, not to tear them down, but to help them to remember something. I told them that if they're not every single week doing all they can do to bring somebody to church, to invite somebody, if they're not at least inviting somebody, I said this, you're voting for the church to die. Did you get that? You're voting for the church to die. If we don't reach others, listen, who's going to carry the burdens of tomorrow? When we get all up in age and in wheelchairs and on walkers, who's going to carry the burdens for us? When the missionaries have to come off the field because of diseases and physical sicknesses, who's going to carry the burdens of the mission field if we don't reach others? Well, preacher, we got bus ministry. Brother Pitt sends all kind of bus workers out on Saturday. I didn't ask what Brother Pitts is doing. I didn't ask you about what so-and-so's doing. And I shared this with our church, preacher. And I wasn't trying to be mean, but trying to show them the importance so they'd get a hold of it. If each one of us personally aren't doing something to try to reach somebody else, we're saying it's okay. It's okay with me if the place folds up in 20 years, 10 years, 1 year. It's okay. And I know what probably many of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, shut up. And then something else you're probably thinking is this. You're thinking, preacher, did you come here tonight to make us feel bad? Did you come here so that we'd leave here feeling just terrible? No. I came here for this purpose, so that you'd leave with a burden. Can I say this, and this is known to the vast majority of every person in this place. We mentioned all these burdens. Come here, Brother Perkins. Here's a burden that we often talk about, but so many of us, so many times, fail to do anything about. Boy, the preacher, he's just working hard. The preacher's on the roof at college. The preacher's doing this. The preacher's going to kill himself. The preacher's doing that. And we'll talk about what the preacher does. But tonight, you get on that side, Brother Perkins. Tonight, why don't we say, no, preacher, you just sit there. You're burdened down, preacher, and I love you. Preacher, you've been carrying his burdens for almost 45 years of this place. And I've been sitting here for one or two or 20 or 30. And preacher, here lately, I hadn't been carrying many burdens myself. So tonight on this altar, preacher, I want to carry some burdens. I want to carry some of your burdens. I want to pray for my preacher. Tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning when work time comes, I don't want to just pray for him, but you able-bodied men, I want to do something to lift the burden. Why? Not because I worship the man, Dr. Carter. I love him to death. But because first I love God. Amen. And I love my man of God. Amen. And I want to help carry his burden. I want to make his burden lighter. Ladies, there's a pastor's wife sitting back there that's cried. Listen, you can sit down, Brother Perkins. It's cried tears you've never heard about, tears you've never seen, over things I just mentioned. Wayward people. Ladies, tonight, why don't you get on this altar and say, I'd like to help carry some of Sister Sonia's burdens, because I love God, but I love my pastor's wife too. And by doing that, I'm not just helping them, but I'm helping them to be able to help others. Tonight, listen, let's quit being bogged down with unnecessary burdens, and let's pick up some burdens that are going to make a difference. Will you bow your heads with me tonight? If you're here and you're lost, I invite you, come and lay down that burden of sin. Cast it at the feet of Jesus. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Church member, can I say this? If you love your church, you love your pastor and his wife, you love God and you love others, every single one of us ought to find a place on this altar and say, God, help me not to leave here without picking up a burden. Help me to leave the burdens that are unnecessary. And tonight, help me to pick up a burden and help carry the load. Father, I love you and I thank you for your word. And I pray that tonight, God, you know my heart, that Lord, it wasn't my intention to be mean or to try to, Father, to pick people apart. But God, these are things that you've dealt with my heart about. And Lord, you've helped our church with. And God, I pray tonight the preaching of the word of God has been a help to this church. Father, I pray there be sinners here that are lost, they'd come get saved. If there be some that are wayward, that some know about, that they'd come and they'd pray and spend time on their behalf. Perhaps there's some that's on the verge of dropping out because of this thing of carrying burdens is grievous to them. God, I pray that you'd reveal to them afresh and anew what you did on their behalf so they could be saved. And Lord, renew that love for people and that love for you.